What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
$3,005,509 is where we are at so far on day two of the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. That comes from the generosity of the Hale family, from BJ's, and from all of you out there donating toll-free at 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org. And you can also text to give any amount. Text KCANCER to 56512. Very, very impressive pacing. We want to keep that going here on day two. Jones and Keefe live at Fenway Park. And we are joined right now by Rosemary Conway and Dr. Dave Barbie. Guys, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Rosemary, yesterday we said, Keefe, you get something new every year on the telethon.
That's true.
Today we got something new. We've never been given a gift here. As Keith is displaying on twitch.tv/boss.
Yep, the White Ribbon Project. Very nice. We can display this in the studio when we get back.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
For sure.
Very nice.
So, Rosemary, thank you for bringing that in today.
You're welcome.
What can you tell us and share with us today about your story and why you're here on day two of the telethon?
I'm here because I'm a huge advocate for research and clinical trials for lung cancer, because when I was diagnosed 8 years ago, I was told there wasn't a treatment for the kind of lung cancer that I had. So I had multiple surgeries, chemotherapy, and the cancer returned, and I was told clinical trials is really the only option for you at this point. And as we know, with funding cut at the federal level, there's the danger that we're not going to have as much clinical trials. And I've been very fortunate that through Dana-Farber, I've been able to be in clinical trials. The first two failed me. The third one had some nasty side effects, but I'm in the fourth one, going strong. I'm 20 months, and the cancer is stable. Dr. Barbie is my physician. And if it weren't for research and clinical trials and the funding for research that we so desperately need, I wouldn't be here today.
What was your reaction going all the way back to 2017 when you were diagnosed as a non-smoker, finding out that you had lung cancer? What was your reaction to it, and then what was your first steps after?
At first, it was total disbelief because I lived a healthy lifestyle. I was working full-time as a speech pathologist in the public schools. I had no symptoms at all. So it was just disbelief. Like, this can't be happening. And then I just kind of went into action mode. Okay, what do we do to get rid of it? And that's when I met my surgeon and we started going with surgeries. And you never really have a chance to process through what's happening to you because you're taking care of what's next. Okay, after surgery, then what do I do? After the next surgery, then what I do, and totally advocating for what you think is right and researching like crazy on the internet for what everything means as you come to try to understand this entire new language wrapped around, you know, lung cancer.
Dr. Barbie, I want to ask you, and Rosemary mentioned a couple of different times, the impact at the federal level with lack of funding there. How does that impact what you do? How does that impact patients like Rosemary?
Yeah, I think many of us in academia not only see patients, but we also run research laboratories or do clinical research. And that really allows us to specialize. You know, as many oncologists in the community are taking care of patients every day, and you don't really focus on one cancer. And so we have the good fortune of being able to do that. And a lot of that is through additional resources other than just seeing patients and generating clinical revenue. It's through very generous philanthropy, but most importantly, earning through grants, mainly through the NIH is one of the main sources, but there's also a number of foundations that are also sources of funding for us.
Rosemary, what can you tell us about some of the support groups you're involved in and how important those are?
early on in my cancer diagnosis, all I wanted to do was meet another human being that was living with lung cancer. And believe it or not, 8 years ago, that was not an easy thing to do. Once COVID started and there was Zoom support groups, Longevity started having these Zoom support groups, and I became an active member in those groups. And it helped me tremendously because all of a sudden I had people to talk to who were going through similar types of either treatments or scenarios regarding their lung cancer. Even though everybody's lung cancer is different and the treatments are very different, it helped so much to know that you could share how you were feeling and, you know, commiserate about side effects and everything else with a group like that. And I, to this day, I still go to the longevity support groups. They're all Zoom. And also Live Lung is another organization that supports patients and caregivers with lung cancer. And they actually do trainings and retreats for patients and caregivers that are phenomenal. The White Ribbon Project, I've been part of it through day one. Whenever there's a build in our area, which isn't too often, I do try to attend. And I'm big into like the early screening initiative with ELSI, the American Lung Cancer Screening Initiative program with the college students. And recently I was just on a podcast with them to talk about lung cancer awareness, early screening, the importance of research, and how all you need are lungs to get lung cancer.
So she's a pro. She's been you're doing podcasts, you're doing radio, you're doing it all. Well, we're happy that you're doing well. We're happy for all the awareness that you're raising, staying involved, and the funds that are getting generated here today. Continue to contribute. You hear where that money's going. 877-738-1234. Online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. Rosemary, Dr. Barbie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having
sharing
me.
With us and telling your story, because that that really does help that number over there and some of the funds raised over 23 years. We will roll on here on Jones and Keefe, day two of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. Every gift, no matter the size, does make a difference in the lives of adults and children being treated at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. 87 cents on every dollar raised supports patient care and research for children and adults at Dana-Farber. So please continue to give there. We will continue here. We'll talk to Rob Bradford coming up at 10:30. We're going to check in with June and also Dr. Matalonis. That's coming up right after a trending with...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Nick. It is Jones and Keefe. It is day two of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. It's presented by Arbella Insurance. You can donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or sometimes the easiest way is just to text. You can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. Now, in the last break, Keith, we just had a significant jump up over $3.5 million.
Very nice.
Is where we're at. Continue to donate, but that is great to see early in the day. June Shea is here with us, as is Dr. Ursula Matalonis, and June was just updating the board over there. So she officially moved that up over $3.5 million. And we were rudely coming back from a break there, June. You were just sharing with us about your Red Sox fandom that goes back some years.
Yes. So if you want me to start over, I will.
Yes, please.
So my girlfriends and I, families, lived in Mattapan. So at age 13, moms gave us permission to take the streetcars to Fenway Park. And we would sit in the bleachers because back then they used to have day games. And the tickets were so cheap. And what we would do is we would sit in the bleachers, and for 75 cents, you could get a megaphone filled with popcorn.
Wow.
And when you finish the popcorn, you would pull out the tab, and all we would do was scream, Tony! Tony! Because Tony Conigliaro was so young and so handsome. And every now and again, he'd go, and then look at the field, and then we'd scream all over again, and he finally went like that and gave up on us. But that was very much fun and very exciting. And the Whiting Bread Company was Daisy Meadows, had a contest that if you could spell Kaya Strumsky's last name, that you would win a year of free Daisy Meadow bread. And my girlfriends and I would scream out his name because we knew how to spell it with Y-A-S-T-R-Z-E-M-S-K-I.
Wow.
Did they call us? No.
No.
Never.
So you're still owed a lot of bread.
We are owed.
At least a year's worth of bread.
At least a year's worth.
And I'm sure they're bankrupt by now.
I think they need to bring back the popcorn megaphone. That's what I'm aware of those guys.
Amazing.
They're great.
But I think you'd have to put a 4 in front of the 75, right?
Yeah, well, this is true.
Yeah.
Now, you should see, I've watched this man eat quite a bit, Rich. How many innings do you think it would take you to eat a full megaphone?
Oh, one inning. One good inning, probably.
Yeah.
Goes down easy.
That's right. Yeah.
Is what it is.
Do you have a current favorite player on the Red Sox?
I'm such an old, so old that I would have to say I would go back to Ortiz.
Nice. Good one.
And, of course, Tony C. That whole group, Rico Petrocelli, we were all under the impression that his family owned a pizza shop in Quincy Center. So we would try. And whether or not they did, who knows. But it was all that crew. And it was just so much fun, El Tiante. But currently, I guess it's everybody's favorite, Jaron Duran. And the new player who just got that huge contract.
Oh, Roman Anthony.
Yeah, good one.
He was amazing. And I know that my husband used to get so impatient with Nomar Garciaparra because I think he was superstitious and he had to take care of his gloves.
He sure did.
Eight times each or some crazy number like that.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. And, of course, it was always Pedro Martinez. So I was just... I hear too young to really appreciate Ted Williams' Teddy Ballgame, and I'm sorry that I missed out on the years of Teddy Ballgame.
Well, and he was huge for the Jimmy Fund.
He started it.
Yeah.
And I always make sure to rub it into, especially Yankee fans, that it was the Boston Red Sox that actually started the foundations. They were the pioneers, and it started with Teddy with the Jimmy Fund.
Now, we know, Dr. Matalonis, that we can tell that June is a big, big, big Red Sox fan. She is on a clinical trial as well. How important are those clinical trials and money raised, like the Jimmy Fund Telethon here today, for patient care and cancer research?
Yeah, so June is great, and I did not know how big a Red Sox fan you are until just now.
You're the one who told us. You're like, she's a big Red Sox fan.
Well, no, just until this morning.
Great intel.
No, yeah.
We don't talk about the Red Sox. We have like eight minutes together,
yeah.
And we cram a lot in.
We do a lot. So, yeah, no, clinical trials are hugely important for our patients, and it really allows them to gain access to expanded types of treatments besides kind of more standard of care chemotherapy. So we really make sure that we have a very strong list and foundation of clinical trials available to our patients. So and the money raised here absolutely helps us do our work.
So June, take us back to when you first found out what was going on. Were you, your discomfort went in? How'd that happen?
I just didn't feel like myself. And I noticed that I was getting very bloated, and that really wasn't me. And I was under treatment. Actually, I was in remission from a non-Hodgkin's B-cell lymphoma and under the care of the most wonderful, funniest, charming, brilliant doctor, Dr. David Fisher. And I called him, and I told him that I had a CT scan, and it was very fishy looking, and they couldn't quite pinpoint what was going on. And this was on a Friday afternoon. He called me back Friday evening, and you could have knocked me over with a feather. And I said to him, I am so surprised that you actually called me back on a Friday evening. And he said, June, just because I'm not in the office doesn't mean I don't walk around with a phone. And he said, I will read the scan, and I will take care of everything. And he said, Dr. Matalonis owes me a favor. I'm calling in the favor. So he got in touch with Dr. Metalonis, and I met with her and Dr. Ross Berkowitz, who was also a sweet, sweet, brilliant physician. And I met with them on Wednesday, and when I told Dr. Fisher how grateful I was to meet with the most phenomenal team of doctors, so soon after I called him on a Friday afternoon, and he said, "Wednesday? You had to wait that long to see her?" And he burst out laughing, so I knew he was kidding around. And I am telling the whole world that Dr. Metalonis is keeping me alive. And I'm just so grateful for the A-team, A-plus team, I was told, that Dr. Metalonis runs. And I'm praying that the third time is a charm, because this will be my third treatment. And going through a clinical trial is very different, because it constantly changes as they discover more and more, and they realize that the more often that you come, you don't need quite so many lab tests, because it's a huge commitment. It really is, and it's worth every moment of that commitment.
Well, this is a reason to donate right now. 877-738-1234 will lead to clinical trials, patient care, many, many things. But you can hear where that money goes. You can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. Dr. Metalonis, how common is it to hear a story like that, where patients come in and they say, "Well, I just wasn't feeling like myself," and that can be a trigger to listen to your body and get some help?
Absolutely. The symptoms can be very subtle. And just what June experienced, just a little bit of abdominal bloating, maybe some discomfort, difficulty putting pants on, and it can come out of the blue, and it does, and it comes on also pretty quickly sometimes. So I think to really question that and go to, you know, a trusted physician or other, you know, part of the care team is just super, super important to do, and really jump on it, because earlier identification, we can do a better job with treatment.
Well, and I'm always interested in talking with doctors about how everything has advanced, and how had June come in 10 years ago, I mean, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago, right, how different the treatment would have been.
Yeah. I wouldn't be alive today.
Yeah. Even 5 years ago, we have made great progress, and that is absolutely the truth. It's really astonishing. We didn't have the medications. Two of them, this trial that she's on and the one June was previously on, were not available 5 years ago.
Well, June, thank you for coming on, telling your story, sharing that with us, your Red Sox fandom, all of it. We really
thank
do
you.
Appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Thank you. Dr. Metalonis, you as well. Continue to donate toll-free at 877-738-1234, and you can also text KCANCER to give any amount. Just text that to 56512, up over $3.5 million. So please continue to give there. While we get Rob Bradford in here, I will update you again that every gift, no matter the size, does make a difference in the lives of adults and children being treated at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. 87 cents on every dollar raised supports patient care and research for children and adults at Dana-Farber. And you hear some of that. Clinical trials, we've talked about this before. It could be toys at the Jimmy Fund for the kids. It could be wigs. It could be prosthetics. It can be a number of different things. $74 million raised in the history of this telethon. It was over almost $4 million, rather. Last year, we're closing in on that number already. So great work. Please continue to donate again at 877-738-1234. Online, jimmyfund.org, or again, text to give any amount, KCANCER, to 56512. Sometimes that is the easiest way to get that done. Simple text away. Please do that if you can. Joining us right here at Fenway Park on day two of the Jimmy Fund WEEI Telethon is Rob Bradford. He's brought to you, of course, by McFarland Energy. McFarland to you there, Rob.
Yeah.
The heating, cooling, bioheat delivery pros at Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. A very generous sponsor here to the telethon as well. Bradford, what's going on? Thanks for
McFarland,
joining
us. McFarland, to
meet
you both.
And yes.
And I give a shout-out to McFarland, because they are a huge, huge sponsor and advocate for this whole Jimmy Fund thing. And I just want to say, you know, when I think about the Jimmy Fund, all of this stuff, I go back to spring training, because I'm fortunate enough to be down there when Lisa Sherber brings the entire crew down there. And
What's interesting is that you have all these new players at that time. I mean, they've been with the team for whatever, a couple weeks, and these kids come in, and it's really their first introduction into how different this whole thing is. It really is incredible. The whole experience is incredible, but I think for the players, it's really an incredible experience as well. So I just want to say, like, that's one of the things I think of right out of the gate.
Well, we're going to talk to Carolyn coming up at 11. She was on the trip down there to Fort Myers, but certainly that's one of the places the money can go as well.
Oh, yeah, and like just the players specifically, how much they end up loving it. I mean, Brock Holt was here yesterday answering phones.
Yeah.
You know, Garrett Whitlock is the team captain, and, you know, we had a guest on Olivia yesterday. She's like, Garrett Whitlock's my best friend. You know, like those guys go down there, they spend a lot of time.
Someone would say that to me.
I know that's pretty good. But we go from one, you know, heartwarming story to, you know, what's wrong with the bullpen? I guess that's the question. That's the transition there.
That's good.
We can talk about Netflix documentary.
But we could go back to the Netflix doc if you want. But no, unfortunately, these last, you know, handful of games, the not being able to rely on enough guys in the bullpen has really come back to bite them. You know, I think, and we even kind of put to bed the, hey, Chapman wasn't available. But it's other things that have happened that
is. Yeah, well, I mean, they're being very careful with Chapman. Yeah. This is very obvious and evident. You go back.
But he was up last night. I'm sorry to jump in. He was up in the game late last night when it was 6-2 or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, because I think they know when this rubber meets the road time. You know, it's like they were really careful, obviously, on Sunday, even though they only threw a handful of pitches the day before. I think he'd only thrown since the beginning of August, like 3 1/3 innings or something like that. This is trademark. We are very careful because if you go back with Chapman, go back and look at his last two Septembers, not good. And they are very aware of this. And if you don't have a good Chapman, then that's a whole different conversation. But I think the bigger thing is what you're saying is that they got to figure this out. They have to figure out what is the backup plan, because they're not necessarily going to say, oh, this was it. But Jordan Hicks was the backup plan.
Yikes.
You look at how they were using him coming out of the gate.
I liked it for a minute, remember?
I remember. He throws hard. Yeah, he throws hard.
Yeah.
And he's got a big contract. But he came out of the gate. They were using him in high leverage situations because they viewed him as that is the guy. That is the guy who can fill in for Justin Slayton. Now Justin Slayton's coming back. That helps. But still, I think that you have to figure this out, and maybe figuring it out means thou who shall not be named, Peyton Tolley,
guy
who had one of the best quotes of all time, where he said, the carrot's there, the carrot's dangling, I can smell the carrot. I don't know if you can smell a carrot, but I love the fact that he said, I can smell the carrot.
Smells like a carrot.
Yeah, it smells like bite. Yeah.
All right, good.
Nick, clip that, please. Yeah, okay, yeah.
David Price, you know, David Price did it in 2008. Why can't Peyton Tolley do it now?
We're going to talk to Lou Maloney. I believe Lou has dubbed Peyton Tolley the piglet.
Mm.
Since
I don't hate that.
Garrett Crochet is the pig.
Peyton Tolley
is the piglet. So you think he can make an impact? Who else are we talking? We asked this to Will Fleming yesterday. Like, Tolley's a name. You mentioned Slayton is a potential name. Sandlin is a name.
Yeah.
Even on offense, though, like Campbell's hitting. They've messed around with the password at first base. Maybe there's an avenue for him to get up here, depending on Abreu's status. So who can make an impact? How realistic is it that any of those names
I would be shocked if any of those guys. I mean, every time Campbell's name is brought up, he's got a lot of work to do. So I would be shocked if they bring up any. I think they have enough. But here's the problem is that, you can say, oh, Trevor Rogers is the best pitcher in baseball the last 2 months. Fine. But the problem is, the pitchers that they have gone up against who are playoff caliber pitchers, this is the one. I know baseball struggled with them, but you got to figure out a way. You know, Christopher Sanchez going back. You have to start beating these guys that you're going up against, because this is the world that you're going to live in. So I think that I don't know if this offense right now is currently constituted is made for that. But that's one of the things, and I said this morning when I wrote it, it's a reality check, man. Like, it's a reality check. You thought you had an easy schedule. Well, guess what? The Orioles are good, and the Yankees are really playing well. And those teams are coming up for the next week. All of this is a reality check for this team. Everybody's like, oh, no, they're going to walk away with it.
What do you think of Dustin May? a couple good starts now, a couple decent enough starts?
I don't know, fine.
Fine.
Wow. Yeah, right. That was a visible shrug.
Yeah,
shrug.
Dismissive.
Yeah, very dismissive.
You know, it's like you look at his – I should give him more credit because, what, 6 innings, 2 runs?
Yeah.
You take that.
I mean, there were some, you know, iffy moments in there, but still have the final line, 2 runs, 6 innings.
Yeah, I think that we get it twisted because we are so, like, hung up still on why didn't you get that guy at the deadline? Why didn't you get Joe Ryan?
Yeah.
You got a guy. He's been good 2 of the first 3 starts out of the deadline. Okay, let's believe me, there's other guys who were traded who are a lot worse than Dustin May. But is he going to pitch in a postseason game? That's what you have to pit everything up against right now, don't you?
Yes, but also, isn't that something that Cora does well? I mean, it's been a while.
Ooh, bobbing and weaving through the postseason?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but like starters pitching out of the pen. And if you can only count on Chapman and Whitlock and one other guy, maybe, I don't know, May or we'll see what they do with Bueller. I don't know.
It's a great point. Yeah. Great point by you.
Thank you very much.
And
I was due.
Good, and I know Adam was thinking of saying
I was,
that too.
I was,
but it's,
I longed to hear that compliment from Rob.
You guys are simpatico. That's right. It's unbelievable. You both have great points, but you're right. I mean, you go back to 2018. If you want to play that game, remember Stephen Wright, the first game out of nowhere was scratch, and Rick Porcello comes in and pitches the 8th inning. Evaldi was that guy during that run. Yeah, and Cora's good at that.
Porcello closed out the World Series. All those guys pitched out of the pen.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's like that's a great point, and I can see May factoring in there because you know one of the things that Cora loves in the postseason is a guy who throws hard, who has his stuff. And a lot of people in baseball already think May is going to be a reliever. So, yeah, that could work. But the biggest thing is
he's got the look for it.
He does.
He looks like an old closer. Like coming in. Oh, yeah, he's got the big red beard, the hair flying out of the hat.
Like a skinny Rod Beck.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like a
could be
carrot top Rod Beck.
There you go. That was better. Yeah.
Closers need to be like these big characters. I think he could do it.
Let it be said, let it be done.
Get him like a good like entrance song. You know, shut the lights off, have him come out.
Honestly, if we do nothing else this season, can we have a good Dustin May entrance song?
We need a good entrance
song.
There
must be something that you can do.
Do you see the Duran entrance?
Oh, yeah. Well, they basically
in Philly? Holy smokes.
They not only traded Duran to the Phillies, they traded his walk-in music.
They gave him the walk-in
presentation.
It's wild.
I have not seen it. Well, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I was just checking out the standings, Bradfo. Yankees, Mariners, Sox, all in a dead heat in the wild card race. Red Sox, I think we can put first place on hold for a little bit. They're all 3 games up on the Guardians. How important down the stretch is that number one wild card and the ability to host 3 games at Fenway Park should they get it?
Yeah, well, science would suggest it's pretty important because of look at how good they are at home, number one, even though they've lost the last 2. But how good they are at home and a thou shall not be like mentioned. I use that twice, sorry. But it was but it should not be mentioned. They have only – I believe they only have one road series win against a team over 500. And so in other words, they haven't beaten teams on the road who are over 500, good teams. And you can't ignore that, much like you can't ignore how good they are at home. So I think it's really, really important. And this is not a layup, man. Like, this is – you just mentioned it. 3 teams tied right now for the wild card. You have Cleveland sitting there. Don't sleep on Kansas City. All of it. It's like – this is it. You got to start figuring stuff out. And you cannot – this is the thing. The Yankees are tough, but – the Orioles, they have the best starter ERA in the last month and a half of any team in baseball. It's no easy outs.
How do you think they use first base the rest of the way?
I think they're going to go probably with a hot hand. Now, they kept the bull. They kept Babraham, you know, Babraham Toro.
the bull.
The bull.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, they'll probably keep him until Ref Snyder gets back. But, you know, other than being a backup third baseman, it's hard to see where he fits if you're going to play low out there. And this is, we were watching low last night in the press box, and Ian Brown had this comp. It was good. I think Middlebrooks might have also. You look at him like, Mike Karp.
Ooh, Mike Karp.
Same number.
Useful player.
Like, useful. Yep. Congratulations to the Karp family. Youthful player.
He was part of the all-fish team with Mike Trout. Oh, Tim,
a big part of Team Joe, too. Team Joe Castiglione. Oh, my goodness.
He loved
himself some Mike Karp.
Wow. He didn't like Mike Karp.
Almost flew out of the broadcast booth when he hit a game-winning grand slam. But he's had a bad year. Lowe's had a bad year, but we've seen stranger things happen. Why not? If nothing else, he's better defensively. And so I think you're just going to ride it out, ride with a hot hand.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. Check him out. Baseball Isn't Boring podcast on the Odyssey app, WEEI.com, at Bradfo on Twitter. Bradfo, we appreciate it. Thank
you. Guys, you're doing an awesome job. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. All right. Thank you. Well, listeners are doing a great job. We are at $3.5 million, a little north of that. So please continue to donate. Toll free, 877-738-1234. You can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. As we roll on day two of the WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, we're going to check in next with Dr. Magnolia.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Contreras. $3,520,280 is where we are at today on day two of the WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Jones and Keith live here at Fenway Park. We've given you the toll-free number. Continue to donate there, 877-738-1234. Online, jimmyfund.org, and you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512 to give. I should have mentioned as well about Jimmy's team's monthly giving program. You can sign up as a monthly donor today, and you'll be entered to win an exclusive Fenway Park tour, including behind-the-scenes looks at WEEI and Nesson Studios. The winner is going to be selected this week. By joining Jimmy's team, which is the monthly giving program, you're going to have a meaningful gift charged on your credit card each month, and it's an easy way to support the work of Dana-Farber all year long. Again, call 877-738-1234, or you can go online, jimmyfund.org. to sign up today. We are joined now on day two by Magnolia Contreras. She's the Vice President of Community Health at Dana-Farber. Thanks for jumping back on here. I understand this is your fifth, sixth year on the telethon?
I feel like it's my fifth or sixth year, yes. Thank you for having me again.
Of course. Now, what can you tell us about your role at Dana-Farber?
The role that I play at Dana-Farber is to really think about the needs of the community before a cancer diagnosis. So our team goes into the community and provides a lot of cancer education to help people have information to try to prevent cancer. So we teach them how to, for example, over these hot days, how to protect themselves from the sun, wearing sunscreen, wearing sun protective clothing, giving them a sense of like, when is it too hot for you to be out, and those types of things to prevent people from getting skin cancer. We also run the only mobile mammography program in the state, which is a huge RV van, and it has a mammography machine on it, and we go and partner with community health centers so that we can provide women with mammographies. And that is, makes it easy for the woman to come on. And instead of having to take 3-4 hours to go to the hospital and do that, it takes a half hour. And they're in and out, and then we follow up with their tests. And if they need additional, workup, we call them and get them in the building as soon as possible.
What has the reception been like? It feels like this is an incredible program, but how have the communities taken
it? I have to tell you, it's super, super, the community looks for it, like the sun dermatology program. We have people who wait in line for us at the beaches or where we go in the summer. We tend to focus, in the communities that go to the beach. And we post our calendar on our website so people know where to look and where to find. And in Revere, in Nahant, in Wollaston Beach, people know ahead of time that we're coming. And I want to take give a shout out to DCR. They are so helpful to us because they post our schedule. And in partnership with them, we go there and we see 50, 60, 70 people in any couple of hours, and it's amazing, and we do find skin cancers.
Now, you hear where a lot of the money goes, and it's another reason to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234. You can also text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount, so we encourage you to continue to do so. Now, Rich and myself, we were over at Dana-Farber a couple of weeks ago, and we saw the new cancer hospital that's going up over there. How is that going to strengthen local communities, specifically the Boston neighborhoods?
So the new cancer hospital, which is the most exciting thing that I think we have right now in my mind, is going to allow us to partner with community organizations, community housing developments, focus on the needs that young people might need in order for them to understand that there's careers in healthcare. It's going to allow us to partner, hopefully, with organizations that really want to move the cancer prevention agenda so that we can bring more programs into the community. And that's going to look a variety of ways. It's going to target people who are in the community, and we want to make sure that they understand that the new hospital is for them and for their families, not just because you're ill, but because it's a possibility that you could work there. I mean, we're going to have basically a hotel that needs to run 375, 24/7. So we are going to need a lot of support that to allow us to run that hospital. We're also going to have such innovative treatments that are going to come out between now and then, and we want people in the community to know that they need to be part of the creation and development of those treatments. So it's for the community, so they understand that we're there from a workforce standpoint, but also for the larger community to know that they are still primary in our minds in terms of cancer prevention and providing those services.
And you joined Dana-Farber in 2007. So how have you seen it kind of grow over your time there?
Oh, my gosh. I think when I joined Dana-Farber, I don't know that we were 2,000 staff. I think it was less than 2,000 staff, and now we're like 16 or some number. Yeah. So I've seen it grow, and it's been fantastic because it's the innovation that has allowed us to grow. Our scientists are so amazing, and they've been able to help push the needle around finding the cure to all so many different cancers. And when we can't find the cure, we have advanced the disease for many, many people, and you see how many people are living longer. I'm a perfect example. I had cancer a long time ago, over 20 years ago, and look, you know, we've been able to really take advantage of those innovation and the research that's conducted at Dana-Farber. So it makes us happy to see the organization involved in this way and be for the community in this you know, new ways.
Well, Magnolia Contreras, thank you for all that you do here, joining us again this year on day two of the Jimmy Fund Telethon. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the time, and thank you for the donors.
Yes, thank you.
Continue to donate again, toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or by texting KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. We're going to roll on here on day two. When we come back, we're going to check in with Carolyn Hampson of Attleboro.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.